Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Jane doesn't mind an apartment with no elevator.
5 flights of stairs is 5 flights of cardio.
Bob is a little less enthusiastic about stairs.
I hate stairs.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle renters and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Jane and Bob found an apartment that's a 4-story walk-up. And Bob?
Yeah, there's a freight elevator she doesn't know about.
What were you talking about?
Nothing.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
Time now for another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. You know, we get you to work every morning on the Bob and Tom Show. Now every afternoon at 3, we're going to post a little extra for you to get you laughing on your way home or whenever you download this thing. On the show today, Saturday Night Live alum John Lovitz on the show, talking about Dan Aykroyd, baseball, and The Tonight Show. It's all coming up next.
Dean, I am so hungry.
You want to go get some breakfast, Tom?
I guess. Is there a place we can go that has flat-chested waitresses and really baggy clothing?
I don't think so.
Think again, Dean.
Guys, if you've been longing to have breakfast surrounded by flat-chested women in baggy clothing, then you'll want to visit the all-new breakfast restaurant, Pancake Hooters. At Pancake Hooters, you won't be bothered by waitresses who accidentally dip their large bosoms into your maple syrup or who break the yolk of your egg while bending over the table to pour your coffee. Pancake Hooters only hires women with prepubescent builds, so you won't be distracted by massive memories while trying to finish off your breakfast in time to get to work.
Wow, what a great breakfast.
Sure was, Tom. And I was able to eat my waffle while it was still warm because I wasn't busy staring at gargantuan tatas.
And you didn't slobber in your coffee either.
And guys, if you're in a real hurry, be sure and take advantage of our flat as a smorgasbord breakfast buffet. Why not try Pancake Hooters today? You'll see why our hardline policy with our waitress staff is it's either 32A or the highway. Pancake Hooters.
We're just waiting for the cast to actually show up for work. Here's more Bob and Tom Extra.
And we have been joined by the tall, tan, and totally together actor and comedian. He is Mr. John Lovitz. Hey, John, you look great.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
I thought it had to be all quiet.
No. We were hoping for the classic Lovitz entrance.
Miami.
Oh.
For a week. Jealous?
No, it's jealous?
Oh, is that how I say it?
You say two things in one movie that kill me every time.
I hit the cup.
And those two words are headrest comfortable.
Conehead.
Yes, yeah.
He plays the dentist in the Coneheads.
So are you going to?
That was really fun. Dan Aykroyd. I first that guy is so great. He played Bob Vice President Bob Dole. He guested on SNL when I was on there. Then he took all of us to dinner. He was affiliated with the Hard Rock Cafe, which is like this hip place back then. And then he got us all jackets from the Hard Rock Cafe, and we were all dead broke except for Phil. And I remember Jan Hooks looking at me. She's like, who is this guy? I go, I know. He's so nice to us. Like, we're like, he took us out to dinner? And then he gave us a jacket? We're like, what? And then I did a movie, My Stepmother's an Alien. I played his brother. And he couldn't have been nicer to me. I had this trailer that was about, I don't know, probably 40 years old. And it was just, you know, it had holes in it. And it was just musty. So he comes in my trailer. He goes, no, I was in his trailer. And I said, oh, you have a TV? He goes, well, don't you? I go, no. He goes, yeah, you do. I go, no, I don't. He goes, you're kidding. Let me see. So he comes to my trailer. I go, well, it's fine. And believe me, it was a dump. But I was just thrilled to be in a movie and on the lot, you know, at Fox. Next day, he got really pissed. Next day, I had a brand new trailer. And
wow.
Nice.
And then every day, he'd go, Johnny, you're coming to lunch with us. And the guy knows how to live. He's always been great to me.
Yeah, that's great.
Dan Aykroyd, also a great harmonica player. Mm-hmm. And he
with
was
the Blues Brothers. Yeah.
He was the MC last year when I went to see that Eric Clapton thing. It was so cool. Aykroyd was introducing all these great blues artists and Eric Clapton.
Oh,
did
right
he play
on.
Harmonica with Eric Clapton?
Yeah, he played a little bit.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
That's, of course, that's probably somewhat intimidating.
I have a question. So this is Bob and Tom, but they told me Tom's not.
No,
Tom's Bob's right not here.
You're Tom. Bob's not here.
Bob is not here.
So why isn't it ... and Tom?
You could do that, I suppose.
It costs a lot to make new
I bought 50,000 of these cups.
We have all these signs.
Feel like, do you feel like Bob just like abandoned you?
He retired.
Not Bob.
Yeah, well, we still have the cups.
Before you jump to conclusions, spend some time with Tom first.
John
We're all
Lovitz
a little
is our
envious
guest.
Of Bob, actually.
John Lovitz is our guest, and John is happens to be.
Six of you. Oh,
yeah. We're ganging up on you, John. Does it bother you when people tell you how much they love your stuff and your work and your particular movies? Does everyone have a special one that they
well,
love?
Are you, why are you?
Because I'm about to tell you how much I love
you. Don't like it.
How much I love Rat Race.
No, it's very flattering. Thank you.
Terrific movie.
Yeah, and it's a mad world revisited and funnier.
Well, that is exactly what it is. Sherry Lansing was the head of Paramount Studios, and she commissioned the movie. And that's Jerry Zucker, who, you know, with David Zucker and Jim Abrams did all the airplane movies mm-hmm. and everything. And Andy Breckman wrote it with, well, he wrote it, but Andy goes, I wrote it with Jerry. But Andy is like, he created the TV show Monk. He used to write on SNL and Letterman. He's one of the few comedy writers that's actually funny and witty. Most of them they're nice people, but it's weird. They have no sense of humor. They can write funny stuff, but they have no sense of humor. They just look at you. They go, that's funny. Okay. But it was really fun, and I really got Jerry and I really hit it off, and it was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, it's a great movie. If you've never seen Rat Race, it has one of the great visual gags.
Yeah, the John.
Oh, but I messed up. Anyway, Sherry Lansing said I want to do a new version of a Mad World.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And that's exactly what.
Yeah. When you were a kid, were you a vinyl record comedy album guy?
Oh yeah.
Which one?
Well, no, you? I could what happened was I saw the movie. I wanted to be Willie Mays growing up, and then I was 15, and I'm like, oh. I will happening. Never be an African. It didn't hit me till 15. I'm like, God, I'm so pissed. So then I got into acting, but I was 13, and I saw the movie Take the Money and Run.
Woody Allen, wonderful.
Woody Allen's first movie. And then when I was 16, I saw the movie Lenny about Lenny Bruce starring Dustin Hoffman. So that was so great. I said, I want to hear the real Lenny Bruce. I'd never heard of him. So I went to the record store, and I bought Lenny Bruce's albums, and then I saw Woody Allen had been a stand-up, and it said Woody Allen, the nightclub years. Mm-hmm. 1964 to 68. I never knew he was a stand-up. So I bought those. And then I'd play them for my friends, and then we'd be dying laughing. And then I got to college, UC Irvine, and I lived in this dorm, the fine arts dorm, Prado, and they'd have a talent night. So I would do Woody Allen and Lenny Bruce's routines.
Wow.
For talent night. And I'd get index cards and write everything out, and then write when their voice would go up and down. And I was actually kind of teaching myself how to write and do comedy and timing. I didn't even know I was doing that, but right. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, I guess Dustin Hoffman for the movie Lenny memorized lots and lots of routines and all that. The on stage stuff is all real. He really knew it. Really got it down to do that movie. Terrific movie.
Yeah, well, you can get the album. I'm sure they're online now.
Oh yeah,
you
know? Sure. The Woody Allen, those are classic.
When you love riding a motorcycle, you want to ride it everywhere, even to a physical.
Let's check your weight. Hop on the scale. Look at that. You're down a few pounds.
Oh, yeah. Must be the new carbon fiber wheels.
And when you love saving money, you want to save even more. That's why GEICO makes it easy to bundle your motorcycle and car insurance.
I'm going to prescribe 91 octane for your engine knock, and we'll want to see you again in 3,000 miles.
Kickstart your savings with GEICO Motorcycle. Bundle and save on the things you love.
Those the Woody Allen.
I shot a moose. But I would say, I was trying to imitate him. You know? I shot a moose. I was hunting in upstate New York. I shot a moose.
Larry goes, you know Mr. Cohen?
The Berkowitzes.
We're speaking with John Lovitz, comedian. And
thank God. God, you said I was a comedian.
What would you? I'm sorry.
Raconteur, man about town.
Speaking with John Lovitz, he probably.
And comedian.
You remember him when he played Willie Mays in the black and white version.
Well, back of then, the you know, baseball in the 60s was like Little League. There, where I was from, in the Valley in Los Angeles, 100,000 kids were in Little League. I mean, that was it.
And your experience in a baseball movie. We were just talking about this earlier.
Oh, sure. A League of Their Own. Yeah. One of your finest roles, I'd say.
Yeah. One of the scenes that we shot in Evansville, Indiana, it was beautiful. And that was they wrote that part for me. The Babalu Mandel and Lowell Ganz, they used to, you know, write Happy Days. Mm-hmm. And then they wrote Splash with Tom Hanks. Parenthood, a lot of movies. But Bob, every time I see him, he goes, we wrote that part for you. We've never done it before since that they wrote a part specifically for a specific actor, and it was me. And I remember reading the script, and I was just crying laughing. And I said to my agent, I go, I don't care how much they pay me. I have to play this part. I mean, it's just so funny.
The jump take you do when you see Marla Hooch for the first time is just glorious.
Well, Penny Marshall, God bless her, she was so great to me and she let me live at her house for 2 summers, and she befriended me. I met her 2 weeks before my first show at SNL, and she just looked out for me from the day one. Anyway, I love her and I miss her, but she was great. And so, but that scene was, I'm supposed to like look at Marla Hooch. I said to her, let me just do a bunch of takes in a row where I just look at her and, you know. I was trying to do it where, you know, everything's fine. I go, all right, let me bring her over here. And I'm trying to look at her face. And the actor, Eddie, he just passed away. Her father, he was great. He goes, you know, take your hat off. So she looks at me. And I wanted to do a thing where I reacted like I couldn't help it.
Right.
So like, it scared him. To the point where he had to physically move back. And, and then really look at her and go, we'll let you know. And,
we're speaking with John Lovitz. You may recognize his voice. What was before?
I recognize your voice.
Oh, thanks. When you got to SNL?
Wait a minute. Wait, Bob.
Did we get Bob's voice?
No.
What was happening with your life before SNL?
I was in the Groundlings Theater, and I was a messenger. You know. I got in the main company of the Groundlings in September of 84, January, did a new show. Next thing I know, in March, on a Sunday, my voice machine, which everyone had, everyone's saying, congratulations, congratulations, but not saying what for. I find out we're going to be on the Tonight Show. And Tom Maxwell was from North Carolina. I go, when? He goes, Thursday. That was on a Monday. I go, what? Because the Groundlings was a 99-seat theater. Now I'm doing my liar character, which was an inside joke between a friend of mine and I, and on the Tonight Show. And, you know, you get on the Tonight Show and you score, you have a career. Mm. And I couldn't believe it. And anyway, that Thursday came and I was really nervous. I said, Tom, what am I going to do? Half the time the character works and half the time it doesn't. Because they didn't get the first lines, it didn't work, which was, you know, hello, I'm Tommy Flanagan of Pathological Liars Anonymous. And I go, I'm a member of Pathological Liars Anonymous. In fact, I'm the president of that. So they didn't get that joke. The rest of it didn't work. So we're in the makeup room, and there's Jack Lemmon being interviewed by Morley Safer for 60 Minutes. And in my mind, I thought, oh, this is that world I heard about where all the famous people live. This is that their world. It was just another world to me. And Morley Safer says, what have you learned in your 40 years of acting? And Jack Lemmon said, I've learned keep it simple. So I thought, okay, that's what I've been looking for. Keep it simple. And then the director, I went out there and I said, where should I look? Because you're on the floor. When Johnny Carson did it in the Burbank, it was like 380 people in the studio. But you're on the floor and they just went up way high into the rafters. So I'd never done TV. I did one show, but not like that. And I didn't know where to look. I go, where do I look? He goes, just play it to camera. I said, okay. So that gave me something to focus on and keep it simple. So I'm really looking right in the lens. And it's very strange because a lot of comics now, they'll do anything but look in the camera, which is so stupid because that's where the audience is, you know? And yeah, there's the audience, I mean, watching on television. So when you keep looking around, you're not making contact with the people at home watching you. So it doesn't work. And then they don't care that there's other people there. You play it to the camera. And you watch all the guys in the 60s, 70s, 70s, they're all playing it to the camera.
Did it work?
Yeah, it worked. I got an agent. Finally, a guy trying to sign me, Mike Eisenstadt, and then he got me auditions, and I got everything I auditioned for. I had to turn down divorce court.
Oh.
But I remember I got an agent on May 3rd. It was March 28th, 85. May 3rd, he signed me, because it was all big, you know, deal. And then I said, a couple weeks later, I said, I don't have any money. Can you get me extra work on soaps? Because it paid $90 a day, and I was making like 45. I go, he goes, well, I'll do it if you want, but I don't think it's a good idea. But if you wait 3 weeks, there's going to be a lot of auditions. So the next day, he goes, well, think about it and tell me tomorrow. So I called the next day. I go, okay, I'll wait. And then I got everything I auditioned for. And Lorraine Newman recommended me to Lauren and Charles. I got a movie with Charles Grodin. I got a recurring role in a series, Foley Square, and a movie with Charles Grodin the same day, which was like, I'd only had one job before that for 2 weeks.
Wow.
It was crazy. All of a sudden, everyone's saying yes, yes, yes. And then I got Saturday Night Live. It was like 7 years of no, and then everything was yes. So I went nuts, and I'm in a mental hospital. Yeah. Just imagining this. I mean, it was that extreme.
Did you get a decent car finally?
I was a messenger. See, my dad had got me a car in college. You know, I didn't struggle financially growing up. He was a doctor. But after college, he said, you're on your own. So I was living on basically $600 a month for 7 years. So I had a car, and the seat had broken, and I had it. It's a funny story. I had the back of my seat, my chin-up bar was holding it up. Anyway, I got SNL. My dad calls me, and he starts cussing him. He goes, that car's a death trap. And he goes, I got in, and he fell backwards. Then he tried to roll the window up, and he couldn't get up. And no, he goes, I've sold it. And I'm keeping the money. I go, thanks a lot. I go, okay. I mean, it was like mean. I go, I got a show, and I moved to New York, and you sell my car, and you're keeping the money. Thank you. Very supportive. So that I rented a car, and then I started buying cars, and then I have a lot of nice cars now.
Good.
Too many, but a lot of really nice cars.
That's great. Yeah. Well, you and Christy would get along then.
I like cars.
Well, people that don't like, they go, what's the big deal? I go, because I love driving.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah. Especially manual transmission, and yeah, it's great.
Can you drive a stick?
Yes.
Don't
insult
guy.
Our guest.
John Lovitz is our guest, a man who can drive a stick and has some good cars now. Yeah, we've all had that crappy car in our past.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the one that the door wouldn't open. You had to go in the passenger door.
Mm-hmm. Well, my first car was it was the ugliest car, but it was a mustard colored Vega. But it's your car, so you love it, you know?
Yep.
I had a Vega. I had a blue Vega. It had the aluminum block from Chevrolet. That lasted for about two years, I think.
Wow.
It was not good. The Vega hatchback. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, well, right.
Speaking of cars.
Why are these two fellas on your shows?
We're not saying anything. We're enjoying ourselves. Jealous?
I want you to have all the mic time you need.
Oh. Ooh.
Do you want to play
a voice
Billy,
like that? I'd be
do you want to play a Billy Joel song for
Mr. John
Lovitz?
No.
Yeah, sure.
Play what? A Billy Joel song.
You want to hear some music?
You want me to play it?
Sure. Come on over.
Need you.
Well, yeah, why don't you play one for us?
Okay, here we go. Billy Joel for Jenny Craig. She's got a way 250.
He is nonplussed.
Yeah.
That's the definition of nonplussed.
Yeah. Okay, give him the headphones. Okay.
John Lovitz is sitting down at the keyboard.
Yeah, okay. No, he's putting it on the phones.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What are you going to play?
She's Got Away. That's a tough song to play.
There we go. Mr. John Lovitz at the keyboard, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice.
I feel like I'm doing a jazz show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, partly cloudy today.
You know, I don't feel like...
Shocked, yes,
God was like, oh my, that's what a piano player looks like.
We're here in the studio. Tom hasn't showed up.
Bob.
No, Bob.
I mean, Bob. Well, you know, T-O-M-B-O-B, it's practically the same
thing. Again, I still have 49,000 of these cups.
There's today's edition of the Bob and Tom Extra for you. Make sure you catch us every weekday afternoon at 3. You can catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For the Bob and Tom Show, this is Christopher speaking. Have a great one.
Come join TV's Ross Matthews every Thursday on his new podcast, Hello, Ross.
Hi, I'm Ross Matthews, and I am so excited to tell you about my brand new podcast, Hello, Ross.
You know, I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying it again to emphasize the name of my new podcast. It's Hello, Ross.
Look, you only have like 30 seconds to tell them about the new podcast, Hello, Ross. You have to tell them about the celebrity guests, the interesting people with cool stories to tell, and it's new every Thursday. Go ahead.
You never know who's going to pop by to say hello, Ross. It could be an Oscar winner, the star of your favorite show, even my dental hygienist.
Really?
No, she's fascinating.
Okay. Anyone else?
One time I was at a dinner party and the lady across from me, turns out she was a dominatrix. Ooh, that's gonna hurt. I've been a naughty boy.
Huh. Are you going to ask?
We're gonna go there.
For reals?
And there.
For real reals?
You better stretch.
I better stretch? What the
heck? On our show, nothing's off limits. I'm gonna ask that question.
No.
And that question.
No.
And I'm gonna get away with it.
Oh boy.
So it's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? Except think of it Mr. Matthews' Gaberhood. Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, that actually does sound fun.
And it's on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Wait, that's my line. Hello, Ross, available on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Okay, now you just repeated me.
We are so over our time limit.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Hey, I'm Chris VanVleet. Go behind the scenes and beyond the headlines with the biggest names in pro wrestling and beyond.
Mr. Sandman.
All I ever wanted to be was a pro wrestler. So I got to live my life
and make people really happy.
The Heartbreak Kid himself, Shawn Michaels.
Do you think there's anybody better than you were?
I think I was great at what I did. And I think other people were great at what they did as well. Greatness is more a mindset, I think, than anything else.
Mindset, motivation, insight with Chris VanVleet. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.